You're listening to Full Credit to the Boys on Eon Sports Digital Radio in every capital city in Australia and also available wherever you download quality podcasts. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Paul Gallen is sniped from the stands, Josh Papali is named as Neighbourhood Watch Ambassador, and City Country Height reaches fever pitch. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at @FCTTB_podcast. I'm former legend at @former_legend. Now, to my right is a man renowned for exporting tons of Beats by Dr. Dre headphones out of South America. He's a man proud to claim himself as the organizer of the Fire Festival. He's dressed in a James Tedesco Roosters jersey, but also can be found on Twitter at Sid Punts. Welcome, Sid.
Welcome. Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Mate, big week. What's going on? What's news?
Well, I'll have more to say about the Beats by Dr. Dre later. But yeah, it's been all good with me.
As our South American correspondent.
I am indeed.
No one is more more versed in how to move some gear in and out of South America.
Allegedly.
Now listen, the Canberra Times reports this week that Raiders star Josh Papali has told a court that he twice called the police to report his own drink driving.
What is going on here?
It has cost him his chance of representing Australia on his home ground. It is the latest bizarre incident involving rugby league player, Josh Papali, who once threw a 1 litre bottle of moisturiser at another motorist. Hey, Dale, pass me oil of Yulian. This prick's about to cop it.
He can make a headline.
Oh. In the latest incident, police discovered the anonymous tip-off that led them to the player had come from Papali's own phone. He admitted he twice called 000 to report his own car driving erratically to prove a point. Yeah. To this point in time, the court did not hear what point Papali was trying to prove.
Yeah, I saw his defense lawyer say he was trying to prove a point, and they said, what might that be? And they're like, can we just get this adjourned? Well, bizarre.
Papali joins other criminal masterminds that have dobbed themselves into the coppers. Blokes like... no, I got nothing, actually.
I wondered who you were going to say then.
Do you reckon Papali will go into witness protection against himself? Because he's a bad dog, bad give up.
He is a bad give up.
You know, every now and then we sit here before the show and I talk to you about how we could do a bank job.
Yeah, and I just have to listen to you drivel on.
If I ever mention that we can do this job and I'm going to bring Josh Papali to come in with us,
yeah,
I give you permission here and now to stab me in the face.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Now, the Raiders have also punished Papali and suspended him
for
one game.
Yeah, this was clever by the Canberra board.
Against the cellar dwellers, the Knights.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the board couldn't meet until way too late.
Wow.
Yeah. Shonky.
All right, well, hopefully Josh stops dobbing himself in, gets back to playing footy.
He's got no idea, that lad.
Learns a lesson. Don't give up on people, especially yourself. Other news coming out of this week, Sid, your Uncle Malcolm
yes,
Turnbull.
Yes, I do know Mal quite well, Uncle Mal.
Has decided he wants to reword the Australian citizenship test.
Oh, and it's about time too.
Including, he wants to learn everyone to learn the second verse of Advance Australia Fair to become an Australian citizen.
Yep, good idea.
Which will make the grand total of people who know the second verse all new Australian citizens. Because no one else is sure of it.
I know it.
Well, what a surprise. Now, listen.
Unky Mal taught me.
I've come up with a few things. I think you can put this to Unky Mal next time you speak to him. A few things I think should be on the Australian citizenship test.
Yeah, good idea. Yep.
Point one.
Go
to the tab on Melbourne Cup Day, put on a box quinella with 7 horses at half a unit and not hold up the queue.
Very good.
Convince yourself that a 7-Eleven sausage roll at 2 a.m. is a safe option after a skinful of Tui's Black.
That's very Australian.
You got anything?
Yeah, what about How many beers did Booney consume on a flight from Sydney to London?
You got to answer that, do you? I think it's 54 for those playing at home. You've got to... Well, here's a go. Forget the national anthem. Forget the second verse. Forget even the first verse for all that matter.
Yep.
Learn how to sing K-San Pissed.
Yeah, good point, good point.
Possibly do a taxi driver. Not, what about, not from this country.
What about name three of the Dado brothers?
You got to answer this question. How about this?
Go.
How many throwdowns is it from Sydney to the Goldie in a Chimera?
What about, what is a Hopawadi?
Well, that could be one of many things. I mean, it's a football player. Term of endearment. What about this one? They have to finish this sentence.
Go.
Mark Nicholas is A, oxygen thief. B, dick hat. C, pommy bastard. D, all of the above.
All of the above. There are no wrong answers with that one.
Anything else?
Yeah, here's a musical one for you again.
Yeah.
Who is the best drummer? A, Tommy Lee from Motley Crue.
Oh, that's a good start.
Or B, Daryl Summers from Hey Hey It's Saturday.
We all know the answer to that.
And for an extra point, who had the better sex tape?
Right on, Daryl and Ozzy. Who would win in a fight is the next question in the citizenship test.
Yep.
Test. Fatso, Aussie or Bouncer?
Aussie Ostrich.
Yep.
Yeah, good. I like it.
Anything else?
No, I've got nothing.
No, let's go this. Did you see that?
I did. That was very...
I struggled.
That was very clever.
You're panicky.
It was seamless. You gave yourself up like Papali. No one would have known.
News from this week. The Bulldogs and the Raiders have celebrated the upcoming City Country Clash by banning any of their players from taking part. While curiously, the Sharks have prevented Jack Bird from playing, but will allow Paul Gallen to make his return to rep footy.
This City Country game...
Exciting.
Well, yeah, I'm not very excited about this year, but this has been a tradition, admittedly on and off, since 1911. And this is the last one, supposedly, ever, although we have heard that before. And the way the clubs have treated this is disgraceful. Ricky Stewart came out last year praising the concept to give his struggling Canberra players a bit of rep experience. Now, doesn't suit him.
Yeah, look.
Doesn't like it.
I'm going to go the other side of the fence there. City Country has run its race, much like unlimited tackles,
yeah,
a million-point field goals,
yep,
midweek cups. Yeah. They were all good in their day. They were all useful in their day. But
I'll
right now, we do not need the City Country. It is an excuse for, well, one excuse is for it's an excuse for players to give an excuse not to play football.
Yes.
But other than that, it's just blokes playing an exhibition match, like Des Hasler said, actually. So I do not think, I won't shed many tears, unfortunately.
No,
I know
agree.
Country should get games of footy, so send a game out there. One team has to take one game out each year to a country location,
yes,
to play footy. Other than that, mate, it's just flogging a dead horse.
No, I totally agree.
Now, after hitting the phones in search of 17 players willing to play as late as Monday morning, Brad Fittler has turned to NRL stragglers Penrith to save his City Country team sheet.
Mm-hmm.
He has named four from their team, including Nathan Cleary and Bryce Cartwright.
My money's on Country already.
Other news this week, Josh Dugan has been linked to the Bulldogs, as has Jared Hayne, by the way. But it seems no one else is safe there at Belmore, with big names James Graham, Greg Eastwood, Michael Leisha, and Aiden Tolman all being shopped around, some without their knowledge.
Yes, well, I broke this here a few weeks ago. Rumours are around again today that Newcastle are going hard at Graham, and the Dogs will let him go, even though he's got another year to run next year.
News coming out of the courts today, domestic violence charges against Parramatta star Semi Radradra have been dropped, which is good news.
Yes.
Papali could probably learn from that. Don't dob yourself in. Meanwhile, the Eels haven't shown much interest in Jared Hayne at the end of this year, but have expressed definite interest in former hooker Nathan Peets.
Yeah, that's been on the cards for a while. Yeah. No wonder they don't want Hayne.
Why?
Well, he said he'd never play for another club, and in the same breath said, I'm off to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, all right. the round nine review, which was celebrate City Country Round, of course, Thursday. It began with the Broncos decimating the Panthers for the first 60 minutes at Stinder Stadium, winning 32-18 in the end, a score that horribly flatters the Panthers.
Yes.
Now, despite the game ending as a 6-3 victory for the Broncos, outside of a 10-minute period late in the game, the Panthers were mostly all at sea, rarely looking dangerous. Indeed, if you need evidence of the difference of these two teams, look no further than the errors column, which finished 17 errors to 6.
Yes, well, I couldn't have put it better myself. They are all at sea, the Panthers. And if you believe the rumours, did you hear this one?
No.
It's probably just from Hoops. But Moylan has the old, asked...
the old darkroom dartboard player.
That's him. But Matty Moylan has asked teammate Nathan Cleary to ask his dad, the Greyhound, to see if he can get him a start next year at the high-flying West Tigers.
Would we have him?
We'll have anyone at the moment. I don't know. I'm not sure about Moylan.
There's a few things going around out Penrith way, including some fighting amongst players. We'll just leave it at that. I'm sure you've heard the rumours. Brisbane in this game, their win might have come at a heavy cost as star centre James Roberts was carried off the field with only 5 minutes to go. Now, prior to his injury, Jimmy the Jet had made the game-high metres with the ball of 180. He had one lie break and a try.
Those
stats are thanks to Crow and Dynamite down at the former Leeds and Backyard Stats Lab.
He is dead set on fire lately. I wonder if he's in Laurie Daly's plans for Origin this year, if he's fit. I wonder, in fact, if Daly even knows that Roberts is a New South Welshman.
Wouldn't think so.
No?
He picked his team just before Christmas. the Panthers this year, well, I think they'll be appreciating this week off because they have averaged 33 missed tackles per match. But they almost reached that mark by halftime in this game, getting to 29.
Yeah.
The former premiership favourites now slipped to 2-7, and they'll face the Warriors at the Pig next week.
Yeah, they've got all sorts of problems.
Friday night, the Rabbitohs were absolutely hosed by the Seagulls at Chai Latte on Almond Milk Stadium, going down 46 points to 8. Now, the Bunnies fans went from blaming the NRL $2 million bunker for their loss last week to having a close look at the value of their own $7.5 million rugby league team, as the Redfern boys looked horrendous in every facet of the game. Their defence was terrible, their attack was worse, and their overall respect for the ball made under-9s teams look slick, Sid.
Yes.
It's one of a few games so far where the result was decided after the first 20 minutes.
Yes, they are absolutely horrible, and I just can't see a way out for them. I don't know what they're going to do. But
are you putting the red line through them for the year?
I am putting the red line through them, so... having bagged them, they'll probably go on an 8-game winning streak. That's probably all they needed for me to write them off.
Now, on the other side of the fence, Manly have gone from a team and a coach under a bunch of fire to a team firmly entrenched in the top 8 with good wins against far more fancied sides.
They have turned it around lately, haven't they?
Well, they scored 5 straight tries in the first half of this game and a halftime score of 30 points to 2, Sid.
It was a good early 2.
Still, well, that still didn't show the exact level of dominance they displayed in this game. And players who really stood out were the ones that many laughed about at the beginning of the year when Barrett first signed them. Nate Miles, Brenton Lawrence, and 4 tries star Aquila Uate.
Well, we spoke about this on our first show this year, the recruiting masterstroke of Bozo Fulton, bringing in Uate and getting rid of that dud Jamie Bure. Well, it's paid off this week. He basically, all he did was stand on his wing all day and waited for Dylan Walker to absolutely carve them up and then just hand it to him to put the ball over the line for 4 of the easiest tries you will ever see.
Well, I think the joke's on you because no one thought he'd catch 4 passes in a game, so I think it's well known to Aquila. Now, if you ever wanted to see some lopsided stats, look no further than this game, Sydney. Manly ran close to 800 metres more with the ball in their hands. They made 19 offloads to 7 and a massive 61%, had 61% of the ball, while Souths missed 30 tackles and made only 67% completions with 15 errors. Now, those numbers, of course, are thanks to Chook and Ferret down at the backyard.
Jeez, how many people have we got on the payroll down there?
About 12.
12. This week.
The Cowboys struggled against the Eagles, going down 26 points to 6 at 1300 eggs. The Cowboys' night of woe is evident from the stats from this game. A paltry 66% completion rate, Sid. 33 missed tackles and 15 errors with the ball.
Paltry thanks at to 1,300 eggs.
Thanks to Bull and Silver down at the Backyard Stats Lab for those numbers.
We love a good pun around here.
Really? This will be one of the great obvious statements you'll ever hear, Sid.
Go on.
The Cowboys missed Jonathan Thurston.
Oh, you stole me thunder.
And it's no more obvious than in the kicking game currently employed by the North Queensland team. It's been a while since I'd seen so many kicks go dead, out in the full, or end up short of a line.
Yes, until the Tigers game, but I said it. I broke it here a few weeks ago. No Jonathan Thurston, no win. They've lost three out of their last four since the Tigers smashed them and smashed Thurston.
That's why people keep coming back to this podcast for
exactly.
those sort of insights.
Sid's scoops every week, but one shining light. How good's Kalen Ponga going?
Well, I'll say two shining lights.
Go on.
Well, you go, Kalen Ponga.
You've always got to top me. He had a great game, and he'll look good at the Knights next year.
Well, what about Jason Taumalolo?
Yeah, goes without saying.
He's the only forward that can hold his head high for the Cowboys. He's the only bloke that ran 100 metres with the ball, whereas five of the starting Eels big men cracked the century mark.
Yes, but one shining light, or is there more shining lights for the Parramatta Eels? Full credit to the boys' very own Clint Gutherson.
Love Clint Gutherson.
Had a great game. He ran for 150 metres, scored a try, kicked four from four, and dropped two full credit to the boys in the post-match interview, and generally was just a champion.
I think you'll find that he's actually leading the full credit to the boys' stats this year. I think he's up to four, so well done to him.
Yeah.
Saturday night, the Titans humiliated the Knights at Crazy Horse Stadium, 38 points to 8. Now, Neil Henry pulled an interesting move here.
It was interesting.
Before the game. By moving the man more unpopular than a Band-Aid in your Big Mac, Jarryd Hayne, to left centre in an attempt to nullify Knights' gun, Dane Gagai. I was going to say Dan Ganane. Dane Gagai.
Yep.
That, in turn, shuffled Roberts back to fullback, and the shuffle had immediate effects. Hayne scored the Titans' first try after the Knights sprang to an early 8-0 lead, and he finished the game with 103 metres, one line break, and two tries.
Yes, well, it's always a risk trying some coaching ideas against the might of the Knights. But this one seemed to pay off. He scored a double, Hayne.
Yeah.
But one of them, I don't like it. It was off a quick tap, 10.01 metres out.
Yeah, I thought the same thing about
that. I just
that.
Don't like it. The rule is still a grey area. The ref's like, no, you can't take a quick tap. Yeah. Or, yeah, you can, or you can't. There should be no quick taps. The line should be set. Otherwise, it's a cheat and try. Wow. I don't like it.
It's difficult to comprehend that the Knights actually led this game at halftime, Sid. They went into the break 8 points to six up. However, the Gold Coast boys went on a six-try scoring spree. Shout out to those people down the southern end of the field. I think they've seen one try all game. They completely smashed the Knights' defence. And being such a young team, Sid, as I predicted,
yes,
shitty 40 minutes has the real potential now to affect them over the next few rounds at least.
Yeah, but they seem to have a shitty 40 minutes every game.
Well, now, thanks to Chopper and Chipper down at former legend Backyard Stats Lab, the Knights had the worst percentage of possession for the entire year. They had 37% of the ball in this game.
Yeah.
Missed 30 tackles and 12 errors in total.
Yeah, the Knights are horrible, but next year they'll have Ponga and maybe James Graham.
The Dogs overcame the Raiders at Renovators Delight to win 16 points to 10. Now, it might have been a look into the future for Doggies fans as they lost both Captain James Graham early after failing a HIA and Josh Roberts with a bung hamstring.
Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds.
Even.
Josh Roberts' dad, Josh Reynolds.
Would James Graham ever pass a HIA test?
How would you tell?
Can you tell what he's saying?
On the positive side, the Dogs seem more settled and a lot more certain around the spine without both Reynolds and Graham.
Hmm.
Indeed, they improved in the second half, overcoming a 10-6 deficit to finish in front with a 2-0 second half. The Dogs peppered the Raiders' right edge all night.
Yes.
Their efforts were rewarded with all three of their tries coming down that side. Between Austin, Leilua and Rapana, who have been much celebrated over the first 8 or 9 rounds, they missed 20 tackles alone.
Yep.
In fact, the Dogs' first try from Adam Elliott saw the back rower run past one of the worst attempts at a tackle you'll ever see from Blake Austin.
Yeah.
I was going to call it a jumper grab, Sid, but I've seen laundry ladies grab jumpers with more authority than what Austin tried.
There was a couple of bad misses from Austin.
Good luck in the video session this week, Blakey boy.
Yes.
You'll have a good time with Ricky.
He missed a couple, and this was a game that Canberra should have won considering the Dogs had to reshuffle due to those major injuries. But it wasn't to be. And maybe some teams are starting to figure out old Blake Austin.
Well, I'm glad you talk about figuring out, because I know there's massive raps on this Raiders kiddie, Nick Kotrick. But one knock I've got on the 18-year-old short career so far is he might be a bit of a two-bob layer.
Now, you don't like that, do you?
Now, even though he had a good game against the Doggies, I'm telling you now, Sid, go back through the video and watch the number of times he makes half breaks and then dummies to his support players. At least on two occasions, he should have passed the ball but didn't, and both times there was potential for his support to go on and score. Now, teams will do their homework on this
kid. Absolutely.
And if he doesn't adjust, he'll murder as many tries as he scores in broken play.
Well, that was a big thing when Austin was playing at the Tigers. He has a tendency to run at the line and dummy.
Mm.
And it worked for a little while, but teams soon figure you out.
Mm, and you get hurt.
When you defend like Austin did the other night, he's going to be found out in a big way.
The Tigers couldn't hang on against the Sharks at the eighth wonder, eventually going down 22 points to 16, Sid.
Yeah.
If the Dogs were getting a glimpse of their future with a couple of their players missing for most of the game with injury, the Tigers stood and stared at their future like a welder's dog, with both Aaron Woods and James Tedesco being injured and unable to finish the game off.
Yep.
And take it from me, with the game that Mitch Moses played on Saturday night, most Tigers fans are hoping he gets subbed off at some stage as well.
Yes. Well, let me go on a little bit of a rant here.
He shuffled his papers and banged him into the desk. Here we go.
It gets my goat that both players,
love that goat,
Tedesco and Woods, were rubbed out of this game due to illegal play.
Mm-hmm.
But what really irks me and gets me other goat is the fact that Moses believes he is entitled to a superstar wage. He was, how do I put it, shit. Moses' stats, and these are from the Backyard Stats Lab.
Who's these from?
Snake and Steve.
Steve.
These are his stats that Steve down at the Backyard Stats Lab gave me. He had one kick out on the full, a chip kick to no one, a forward pass, and twice yelled at Nofaluma, who was playing on one leg, and was still doing a better job than that Moses jerk. Filthy. That's the end of my rant. Go on.
He wants to go to Parramatta. Just
looking at that performance, he can go and now play reserve grade at Parramatta. He was rubbish.
While you're on a rant, let me ask you about this. The Tigers faithful stood on the hill at the eighth wonder with signs giving the departing three players from the Tigers a bit of a send-off.
Yes.
Woods is a dog.
Yes.
Tedesco is a cock.
Yes.
Both signs factually correct.
Absolutely.
Were two of the signs that drew some attention.
There was also Moses is a slimy something or other.
That was yours. is this the sort of thing that's okay by you?
Yes.
Are the departing three fair game to the Tigers?
Yes.
Will you be giving them a razzin over the next few months?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Woods hadn't come out and said where he's going to sign, and Tedesco didn't. So the boys on the hill up there announced it for everyone. Woods is a dog and Tedesco is a cock. I loved it.
Now, I don't often talk about other sports while we do rugby league.
No, this isn't on the running sheet. What are you doing?
Chantel Newbury, Matthew Mitchum, Ludi Torkey, all great names in Australian diving, but they need to make way for the new guy on the scene,
yes.
Paul Gallen, who looked like he was sniped by a guy on a grassy knoll when Aaron Woods put his hands on him while the Tigers went through to score a try.
Now,
the horrible display of overacting resulted in a no-try decision. Do you want to start or?
Now, as you and I have discussed many times, there's a lot to like about Paul Gallen.
I can't think of one thing.
I can't think of one thing either. This was an outrage. This gets me third goat. There's a whole herd of goats. I was filthy. Like that. When we lose two of our gun players and Moses is already playing for Parramatta, we don't need bull crap like this.
Jeez, that's a bit strong.
Yeah. I might tone it down a little bit. That was a disgraceful decision. Working and even board. When they went to the video ref, the $4 bajillion bunker, he said, yeah, we can see Aaron Woods has minimal contact on Paul Gallen. No try.
Oh, the word minimal. I don't mind General Patton, but the word minimal, surely that is an indication of what happened there. Oh. And the way he just threw himself on the floor. Now, Ivan Cleary came out after the game and said, our game is different to other football codes, one in particular where we don't condone diving. But we did tonight. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, and that's where it should be left get angry again.
Paul Gallen came out on Sky Sports Big Radio.
About this fella.
To defend the calls, he was a diver. He said, and I quote, for West Tigers, Ivan Cleary and everyone else who wants to buy into it, it's a penalty every day of the week, and that's the way it is. You can't interfere with the defender, he said. Michael Slater then reminded Gallen that he said last year that there was no room in the games for players milking penalties.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same bloke who also said drug cheats should be rubbed out of the game.
Yeah, and then his brother got done.
Oh, we'll leave it at that.
Let's move on. I've run out of goats.
The Warriors waited until the 79th minute to beat the Roosters at not-so-smart 14 points to 13. The Warriors were leading comfortably at halftime, 12-4, and never bothered the scoreboard attendant for the rest of the afternoon until the 80th minute.
That's all you got
to
do.
When they kicked a penalty goal to go back past the Roosters, who must have thought they were home at 13 points to 12 with under 60 seconds to go. But an odd penalty decision that actually proved to be correct from Ashley Klein, which is rare in itself.
Yes.
Against Mitchell Pearce, gave Sean Johnson a shot at goal to win the game. Now, it was great to see so many Roosters fans take the decision so well on Twitter.
Yeah.
And also to wish Ashley Klein good health after the game.
Gus Warland. he accepted the referee's decision quite gracefully.
What did he say?
He banned 60 people on Twitter. Spat the big dummy that he has. Blocked Vossi. Vossi was into him.
Gus Warland was the one that blocked Vossi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was Gus Gould.
No, it was great. They were having a mad battle.
And he blocked him.
Yeah. He blocked 60 people. Jesus. And out of your 10,060 people, 10,000 have been bought. You're going to run out of fans. Triple M listens to this show. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, they do too. How do you know that?
We'll beep that out. They keep stealing our bits. We'll beep that out later.
Now, I'm not sure if it's just an anomaly, Sid. Anomaly.
An anomaly?
I'm not sure if it's just an anomaly.
A CM anomaly?
Three down, seven letters for an odd experience. But the Warriors are a different side from days gone by. There is some starch in their defence, some maturity in the way they use the ball. And actually, there's some brains behind their on-field decision-making.
Who would have thunk it?
It's early days, Sydney. But under Stephen Kearney, has he changed their Harlem Globetrotting Warriors?
Look, I hope so. I hope it's not totally stamped out of their game because they play a good style of footy when they're on.
Mm.
And they're sitting all right at the moment with four wins.
Yeah, well, I think four and has a lot to do with that. So,
yes. Sure. Shame he won't be there next year.
No, I think he's staying. The Dragons were absolutely poleaxed by the Storm before a mini comeback had them go down 34 points to 22 at Berkeley Oval.
It's another thing we hate seeing. The Dragons get smashed.
Hello to Luke Potter too. He's a Berkeley local. I believe he might be the mayor of Berkeley. But the Storm started like a house on fire, scoring 22 points in just 25 minutes, including doubles to Adokar and Vunivalu. Coach Bellamy said that they plan to start strong to not give the Dragons a sniff, but even he was surprised by their first half. He said that half was probably about as good a half as we've played this year.
Yes, well, it was a good game plan from Bellyache. He said, right wing score, then left wing score, then right wing score, then left wing score, and then we'll see how we go. And they followed it to a T.
The Dragons missed Gareth Wither, as we expected they would, but it was no more obvious than when it came to goal kicking in this game. Now, despite the somewhat lopsided scoreline, the game actually ended 6-5, Sid.
Yes, the second half was like a tale of two halves.
The fill-in kicker, Josh Dugan, struggled, landing a grand total of 1 from 5 attempts.
He kicked one from the touchline in the Anzac Day match, under pressure, and he kicks 1 from 5 this week.
Couldn't kick his cat this week.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to say something very controversial here, Sid.
Oh, here we go.
It's why people tune in.
Is it as controversial as my joke that we had to bleep out last week?
Well, it might be one of the grabber mirrors this week. But anyway, in the meantime, Billy Slater is probably a better player than I was.
No.
Well, mate, it hurts to say that. But up until the second half of this game, We were level pegging for the number of tries scored the NRL in the past 2 years with none. However, Billy returned to the scorer sheet with a handy double in the second half.
He's gone way past you.
I don't think I have any opportunities to go back front, but anyway, it's good to see Billy Slater back on the score sheet, and he is still one of the best fullbacks you'll ever see.
Yeah, he threw an intercept, though. It's not all roses.
Casualty Ward matched 4077, and we head straight in to see James Roberts sitting in bed one, out for a couple of weeks with, what is it, an ACL, I believe?
I'm not sure, but there goes New South Wales hopes right there.
Josh Reynolds is also out for a couple of weeks with a leg injury.
Good, rest up till next year, Joshy.
Whilst Tedesco and Woods were taken off. Tedesco with HIA, I believe he'll be back, and Woods with an hamstring. Sid, you're close to Woodsy. How many weeks?
How many weeks are left? He can sit out the rest of them. I don't care. Sharon Woods with your headband.
What about that?
Yeah, that was great.
That's terrible.
That's great. Johnson, a step up.
For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL and the Swans go 6 losses on the trot, Sydney. A terrible start to the year.
Yeah.
Are we putting a red line through them?
Yes, I'm putting a red line through them, so hopefully they'll come good.
Now, they went down to the Blues, Carlton, Adam Gilchrist's team, who are shocking. So that's not a good indication.
Yeah, the Swans are gone.
GWS won a tight one, on the other hand.
This was exciting. I went down to Canberra to watch this.
Did you? Was it cold?
It was a little chilly, but
embracing.
But it was well worth the trip.
Regret the singlet?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. But it was good to see them beat the Premiers.
The Western Bulldogs.
A very exciting match where some people did some great things. Don't quiz me too much on it.
Boxing. While superstar Manny Pacquiao was in town to pump up his upcoming fight against local school teacher Jeff Horn. In England, one of the great fights of all time was held when British boxer Anthony Joshua had an 11th round knockout of Ukrainian legend Vladimir Klitschko.
Yep.
On the other side of the fence, Sydney, it seems it's days before Green v. Mundine 3 is announced.
Are you serious?
I don't know which retirement villages will be held in, but I know we're all looking forward to it.
Oh, so much.
Now, while we're talking about boxing, Sid, I thought we'd have a look at, if you were a boxer,
yep,
what song would you walk into the ring with? Because I reckon I'd sound something like, well, this.
Fighting out of the blue corner, weighing in at 125 kilos of Aussie muscle. Representing Lycard, the eighth wonder of the world, in the orange and black trunks, the Balmain Bruiser, he is former the Assassin Legend.
What do you reckon with that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. Gave yourself a bit of a rap there, anyway.
What about you? How would you sound?
I've picked mine, and this is how I think mine would go.
Fighting out of the red corner, weighing in at 85 kilos of lean Aussie muscle, he's representing the mean streets of Seatown. In the white and black trunks, he's the mean magpie, Sid the Widowmaker Punch.
What do you reckon?
The Widowmaker.
Yeah.
So he always had you something, not the same, but a little bit different. Something like this, I reckon.
Oh, here we
go. This is more you.
Fighting out of the pink corner, weighing in at 125 kegs, representing a good paddock. In his wife's undies, he's as soft as butter. Sid, what's for dinner, Punts?
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
No, that's accurate, I reckon. It's fair enough.
Well, I've seen your accurate appraisal, and I will raise you this.
Well, this one will be good. Otherwise, I'm walking out.
Yeah, well, march into this first.
Fighting out of the yellow corner, weighing in at 155 kilos of KFC, representing Jenny Gray in the white trunks with the slight brown stains. He's the human blancmange, former, forever hungry legend.
Thanks for not taking the piss out of me. Appreciate
it. No, I did. It's accurate. Accurate description. Oh, speaking of accurate descriptions.
Yeah, go on.
You know, UFC fighter, the Kiwi guy, Mark Hunt.
I like how you left a little bit of a space in between his first and last names there. Very wise. Well done.
They've done an action figure for Mark Hunt.
Yes, careful.
And he put it up on Instagram.
Shout out to his brother, Mike.
This thing... This action figure, if you were ever to have an action figure, you would be filthy. And Mark Hunt was filthy. You should see this thing. He put it on Instagram saying, oh, come on, guys. The man boobs and the tiny penis. It's actually got an appendage, and not a very flattering one.
I'm not sure Mark Hunt's the bloke I'd be taking the piss out of.
Yes, I'm not taking the piss out of him. The makers of it were.
Yeah?
Nothing to do with me. I might put that on our Facebook page or Instagram. It's great.
Basketball. When you're the world's best, Sid, you can probably get away with, a bit of shit, really.
Yeah, you reckon I can get away with it?
Well, no. wouldn't think so. But in his day, Tiger could probably go and pot some hookers. No one would say anything.
Yep.
Mick Phelps could get on the Cheech and Chongs. Joey Johns could get on the Scooby Snacks. And so it was this week that LeBron James almost entered honorary Australian status and possibly our next Prime Minister.
Yeah.
As he chased a ball into the stands and ended up next to a drinks waitress with a tray full of beers.
Yeah.
He picked up a schooner, he put it to his lips, but then he put it back, saying after the game, I'm not a beer man. I might have drunk it if it had have been red wine.
That's not Australian.
He'd probably still lead the Liberals, but Sid, surely.
He wouldn't pass the Australian citizenship test with that effort. What is that noise?
Sorry, I left my phone on. Is that a carton?
that's a fine. That's a carton. You know that. Nice ringtone, though, by the way.
I like it.
You might as well answer it. We've never had a live caller to the show. Answer it. Answer it.
All right, hang. Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Is that full credit with the boys?
Yeah, yeah. Who's this?
Are you the farmer legend?
Who's this?
Do you have a fridge there?
Yeah, we got a fridge, mate. Yeah, yep.
Is the fridge running?
All the time, 24/7, mate.
Well, you better go catch it.
Who is this?
Josh Papali.
What? Josh, is this a prank call, Josh?
Yeah. I did a prank.
Josh.
Yeah.
If you're doing a prank, you don't tell me who it is.
Oh, fucked up.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Well, grab a mirror. Time, Sid. I thought I'd just get away from that prank call and get into Australia's favourite podcasting segment, grab a mirror. And,
it is.
If you're a creditor out there and you want to get a grab a mirror on them, do you think it's good enough to make the top 10, then send it to us on at @FCTTB_podcast on Twitter or @form_legend @SidPunts. Include the hashtag grab a mirror.
Or #GAM, and if you think it's good enough, we'll decide that, not you.
If you think it's as good as my first one, then, you're a long way in front. Because grab a mirror, Emporia scented toilet paper, Sid.
I've got no idea what that means.
Emporia makes scented toilet paper, available in all Woolworths.
Really?
Scented toilet paper. Sid, what's the point of scented dunny paper?
Well, it's not going to be scented.
I mean, do you know the level of scent required in my toilet to make a fly's dick of difference to the murderous smells coming from inside them four walls?
Well, you come over here and drop a Grogan every Tuesday, I know exactly what this problem is.
So grab a mirror, Emporia scented toilet paper, because you couldn't be strong enough. You couldn't. You got anything?
I do have something. My grab a mirror this week goes to the 8 dickhats from Yale University's Student Union, who are undertaking their own version of a hunger strike. Did you read about this?
Nah, tell me.
Well, they're complaining about something. But this hunger strike is different from your regular hunger strikes. If a member of this student union becomes hungry, they can effectively hold up an interchange card and sub in a reserve while they go and have a snack.
How busy would your interchange card be?
According to a pamphlet posted on Twitter by a former Yale student, Adam Greenberg.
Greeny.
No relation to Todd, as we can find out. He stated, Yale wants to make us wait and wait until we give up and go away. But we have committed ourselves to not eating unless we get hungry.
Well, that's called living.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the news of the interchange when you're hungry rule really travels fast. I was on the Skype machine yesterday talking to my dollar a day kid over in Botswana.
Yes.
You know him. You've seen his photo. He's called... Yep. Or as I call him, Gary. Anyway.
Gallon.
We were chatting away about how far a walk it is to the well to get fresh water.
Right.
How dusty the mantelpiece is since his maid caught a bowler.
Jesus.
Next minute, little Gary jumps up and says, sorry, Sid, the pizza's just turned up. You'll have to continue this conversation with... while I hoe into this meat lovers before it goes cold. So, grab a mirror, Yale students.
You're telling me you can have an interchange in famine as well?
It appears that way. It's gone global. Grab a mirror, Yale students, and grab a large burger meal to have on your hunger strike, you bunch of jerks.
All right, Sid, before we start the creditors, grab a mirrors, I've got to warn you that blokes are trying to outdo each other now.
Yeah. We've created a monster, I think.
Poor taste.
Poor taste this week?
Well, here's an example.
10.
Derek Garrick.
Oh, writes, here we go already.
Grab a mirror, fat chicks who call themselves curvy.
Oh, God.
Listen, love, you're not curvy. You're just a fat, bloated wreck. Hashtag lay off the KFC. Hashtag go to Subway.
Just hit 9 and let's move on quickly.
9.
Ron De Paradise cleans it up a little bit and says, grab a mirror at Jimmy Hooper for his atrocious interview with Adam Woods. Why didn't he tell Woodsy to take the hairband off?
Yes, Sharon Woods, as people have been throwing that photo around.
8.
Craig Pickford wrote, grab a mirror, Paul McGregor, for not giving rep players like Jake Marchetto a run in the NRL.
That's a good point.
7.
Juan Farcor wrote, grab a mirror, any NRL player who missed selection for City despite being fit and available to play. Hashtag Marchetto.
That's great.
6.
Thundertown 80 wrote, grab a mirror me for believing the Knights could win after leading at halftime against the Titans. Hashtag one win again in 2017. Hashtag might beat the Tigers. Hashtag hopefully.
Who tweeted that?
Hashtag fuck off Thundertown 80.
5.
Beerboy 182 wrote, grab a mirror, Paul Sirinen's kid Cletus, for telling West fans to pull their heads in. A bloke whose only fame for his grand final posting cheating picks online.
4.
Nobody Special, who is a mad South Sydney fan.
Yes.
Wrote, grab a mirror, South Sydney Rabbitohs, hashtag no explanation required.
Absolutely.
Now, have you got another one?
I do have another one.
All right, hit me with it.
Clean
it up a bit.
Grab a mirror, Cassandra Sainsbury.
Nah. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, go.
She's made the headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Now, as you know, I've made many successful trips to South America.
To and from.
Yes, and Cassandra Sainsbury has made an absolute rookie error.
Now, tell me this before you go on.
Okay.
Of all the times you've been back and forth to South America, How many times have your bags weighed the same going there as they have coming back?
Never. So this is the chick, Cassandra, who got busted bringing stuff back. Now, a lot of items are cheaper over there.
Yes.
South America.
Yep.
You can really find a bargain on like hammocks.
Go on.
Or an alpaca poncho.
Sombreros.
Or a big bottle of Pisco in a bottle the shape of a Easter Island moai.
Right.
All of which I have in my house. But one thing you don't skimp on over in South America is headphones.
Right.
Buy your Beats by Dr. Dre, but never, and I mean never, buy the cheaper South American version Beats by Pablo. It's a rookie error, Cassandra. She wanted to get married in February. She'll marry up all right for the next 10 years in a Colombian jail with some chick. She's going to need a good set of headphones in there, I'll tell you. It's an angry, angry place, Colombian jail.
She's going to get married to El Chapello.
Sleep well, Cassie, and grab a mirror, you idiot.
And not a razor blade. Grab a mirror. University of Michigan engineering students, you giant anorak-wearing geeks.
What have they done?
On Thursday, the group of Poindexters unveiled what is believed to be the world's largest hand-solvable stationary version of the Rubik's Cube.
And oh, it's about time somebody did this.
All of them had a big nergasm over it. A big, giant Rubik's Cube, Sid. That might have been impressive if it was 1984... One more thing, Sid.
Yeah?
Have any of these big, giant eggheads considered how hard it is to swap all the stickers around to solve this 3-meter-tall Rubik's Cube? Remember how hard it was to pull your old car rego label off, Sid, and put on new one on? Well, times that by 1,000 with this big bastard.
Good point.
Three.
Adsos wrote, "Grab a mirror, Aaron Woods."
Not Adam Woods?
Not for leaving the Tigers, not even for the tell-all interview, but for wearing that fucking headband. Hashtag pillow, hashtag biter.
Don't tell me hashtag pillow's taken off. He'll be after you, Adam Woods.
Two.
Juan Farcall wrote, "Grab a mirror gallon. Does excessive peptide consumption make your nipple so sensitive that you collapse when a pillow with a headband touches you?"
Wow, Gal will definitely not come on this show, ever.
Now, before I get to number one, can I just say that Punting Tragic and Mr. Barjas, whilst your tweets were funny...
Dishonourable mentions?
Oh, I don't think we can run with it. So if anyone wants to see them, they might want to go and look for them, but we'll leave it at that. One couple went through to the keeper there. In the meantime, he's number one.
One.
Shell Cove Rabbit wrote, "Grab a mirror, Colombian headphone suppliers. They just lost their Australian market."
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Make a change. Representative round, Sydney.
How exciting, said nobody.
And we'll start off on Friday night at Geelong Cold Stadium. It's Australia versus New Zealand. It's the Haka versus Rip Rip Wood Chip.
Are they going to sing the second verse of the national anthem?
Oh, I wouldn't think so. That's only available in taxis all around Sydney. What do you like? Who do you like?
I like Australia.
Yeah, I'm the same. New Zealand, in these one-off tests, for some reason, just don't fire like they do in three tests or whatever.
They jag it sometimes when it's... Yeah.
But Australia for mine.
Yep.
Saturday, the triple header out there at Meth Lab Stadium.
Yep.
Coincidentally, it's also the annual general meeting of the Western Sydney Toyota Tarago Owners Club when Tonga...
That is a good initiative by Todd Greenberg, putting it on down there with that on.
Tonga, take on Fiji.
Yes.
Who do you like?
Fiji.
Why?
I love going to Fiji.
Well, I'll tell you now, Tonga will win that.
Okay.
And comfortably.
Good.
England v. Good Samoa. For them.
Yes.
Who do you like in England v. Samoa?
I am going to have to go with England.
Yeah, I think England are a safe bet there, surely. The Kumuls, Papua New Guinea,
yes,
take on the Cook Islands. Now, who do you like there?
Well, I'm extremely excited for this game.
Are you?
What were my options again?
Papua New Guinea and the Cook Islands.
I'm going in an upset, Papua New Guinea.
They're the favourites. Well done.
Yep.
The Kumuls will win that.
Like I said.
Sunday. And this is the one we've been waiting for.
Isn't it just?
The highlight of the rugby league year. City v. Country.
Well, you know I'm a country boy. All my family.
It's at, by the way, it's at Kenny Sutcliffe Oval out there at Mudgee.
Yeah, male model from Mudgee. I'm a country boy. I was born in Paddington. All my family's from Bathurst. I'm going for Country.
Yeah, I think Country are a very good bet in this. And, that'll be the end of... representative round, and...
Oh, are you serious? Are you serious? You didn't even turn it off after last time.
Sexy back.
Go on, answer it again.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, who's this?
It's Josh Papali. Is the Mr. Wall there?
Josh, what do I tell you? You don't tell us who you are if you're going to do a prank.
Oh, yeah, I fucked up again.
Last man standing, Sydney.
Yes.
How'd I go? I backed the roughie, it's all I remember. Probably did no good, did I?
You did back the roughie, and you're back in form. Your $20 went on the Warriors.
Yes.
At $2.18.
Yes.
Your $20, because you had to start again, is at $43.60.
Oh, what a good start. Solid start. But
yeah, it's a solid start.
You've been going for a couple of weeks now. I've got my 20 to 43.60. A couple of weeks you've been alive now. What have you got your...
My $30.80.
Yep.
Went on the Broncos.
Oh, you're back
solid,
to winner.
Solid win.
Yeah, so you'd be past me. What are you at?
Yeah, I'm actually behind you somehow. I'm $41.58 or something, and you're $43.60. Don't know how you jagged that, but good job. I'm on hashtag Team Former again.
So what are you going to bet this week? You going to have a bet?
I'm going to back Papua New Guinea.
Oh, I was going to do the same. All right, well, that in mind, I'll back Tonga to beat Fiji.
Yeah, solid bets this week.
Don't put your life on them too. I'll tell you the tip now.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm VB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Unlikely news headline, Sydney. And do you want to start this week?
You go first. What do you got?
Well, headline number one, I believe this comes from the Yorkies Knob Daily. And they said, no one questions Blake Ferguson's selection in Australian team.
Unlikely headline.
Yeah, what do you got?
Mine comes from the Gulgong Gazette.
Right, out there near Mudgee.
Yeah, they've got an exclusive report.
Yep.
Mudgee townsfolk turn out in droves to see Hame Selay.
Yes.
And Ewan Aitken star in the blockbuster City v Country clash.
That's one hell of a headline, I've got to be honest.
Who is Hame Selay?
I've got no idea.
I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly.
I think he was in Wogs Out of Work.
It might have been a typo.
Acropolis Now or one of them ones. The Cockburn Chronicle.
Where's Cockburn?
Near Arscool. The Cockburn Chronicle says, City Country game captivates rugby league public imagination.
Yes.
What do you got?
I've got from the Mudgee Mail.
Oh, jeez.
Mudgee residents sick of Hame Selay offering to sign autographs for them.
The Burram Buttock Bugle. Yeah. Has come out this week and said, Neil Henry nominates Jarryd Hayne as Australian Great Bloke of the Year Award. Wouldn't think so.
No. Well, the Junee Daily reports...
Ray Warren.
City Country, still an important trial for Origin, says Laurie Daly.
Well, that'd have the inside scoop out there.
Yep. He's a Junee boy, Laurie.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Right, the boy's sack, mail and feedback time. And once again, listen to episode 3 on Eon Sports Radio for the year.
Are we up to episode 3?
On them, I think we are.
They said you'd never make it. We may be taken off air thanks to those grabber mirrors.
Derek Garrick, you're killing us. Now, a couple of full credit to the boys mentioned, Sydney.
Yes.
Dylan Walker.
Yep.
Began the weekend with a nice, clear full credit to the boys.
All credit goes out to the boys in the middle and walks. Setting up tries and that, so.
Well, Sydney, when we go back through history, we're going to look at Shakespeare.
Yes.
We look at Plato.
Yes.
Winston Churchill.
Some of the great orators.
Yep. Now you got Dylan Walker.
I think so.
Steam company right there. But when we talk about dropping full credit to the boys live on TV,
this is some only of one the man, best work ever.
Our new favourite bloke in the world.
Yep.
Clint Gutherson, who not only dropped 2 in one sentence,
yes,
but then came straight off the field and tweeted former legend and said, "How'd you like that?"
Now, unreal.
To this. Good to come away with the 2 points up here, especially they always turn up and there's a big crowd. But credit to the boys there. We didn't play our best in the second half, but came away with the 2 points.
Good start of the game. I think it was 14 points all to you early on.
Yeah, I was just in the right spot at the right time. I didn't really do too much for them. All credit to the boys there. That was just pushing up.
Well, there you go, Sid. And thanks to Late Mailman, who was on that like a seagull on a hot chip, sent it to us. He was like a proud father when he heard that.
Legend. Now, Clint, get in the ear of the other boys at Parramatta.
Yep.
See if anyone can outdo you.
I want a couple more obvious ones next time you're on TV. Now, in the meantime, thank you to all the new subscribers. Well, clearly there's been a fair few lately.
Yes.
For those that already are subscribers, Sid, how many times should you subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe this week? What's the magic number?
64 times each.
64?
From each of you.
A little bit of tax on that last number. 64 times. And what happens when you get to 64?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It helps us, though.
Check your inbox, I think.
No, you get nothing.
This week's lotto numbers come shooting through.
You get nothing.
Something.
Just do it for me.
Now, before we knock off and go and have a beer, Sydney, who's your dick hat of the week?
My dick hat of the week is a very easy choice. It's Aaron Woods, or Sharon Woods, as he's now known all over Twitter. That, for a captain of the club, to come out and give that press conference was embarrassing. And as we've already discussed, the only thing more embarrassing was that headband.
What was doing?
Yep.
My dickhead of the week is a groom in China who hired hundreds of people to pose as his mates at a wedding. The husband-to-be, only identified as Mr. Wang, scouted 200 fake friends on social media and paid them $12 each to watch him tie the knot in Shaanxi province. Now, Sydney.
Yes.
I've got one question. $12 to be his mate. I've paid more blokes more money to piss off. I mean, how much did it cost us to punt Normie? Sydney,
let's move on.
Who's under the pump this week?
Well, look, this is maybe a bit of a long-winded story. A couple of weeks ago,
go on.
I mentioned Steve.
Yes.
In a bit of a story about a horse, horsing it in, that kind of caper. Now, I've got a little bit of a confession to make. A mate of mine told me that story, and as I was telling it on air, I thought, ooh, hang on, I better change his name. I don't want to get him in trouble. I don't know what his home situation is. So out of the blue, I just plucked the name Steve. I do have a mate called Steve,
yes,
who I spoke to a few days later, and he said, my young bloke's just started listening to your podcast. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool, yeah. He said he rang me the other day, and he's like, what's this about you being on Tinder?
horsing it into people.
Yes. So last night I got a tweet from a new follower who calls himself Son of Steve. He said, I'm only a new listener. Love the show. Hashtag learn a lot about me dad. Hashtag he likes to horse it in. So sorry, Steve. I've put you under the pump. It's all just a misunderstanding.
Before we finish this week, funnily enough, I'm telling you now that Tinder is under the pump this week.
Well, how appropriate.
Well, because Sudan, a 41-year-old African who's 6 foot tall, has just put himself on Tinder and described himself as the most eligible bachelor in all the world.
Wow.
Funnily enough, Sudan is the last remaining male rhino, and they put him on Tinder to highlight the crisis of being the last white rhino. But his listing said, I don't mean to be forward, but the fate of my species literally depends on me. Which, funnily enough, is what your Tinder profile said as well. Now, he also said, I perform well under pressure. I like to eat grass, chill in the mud, no problems. 6 foot tall and 5,000 pounds, if that matters. Now, you like to smoke grass. You still like to chill in the mud. And 5,000 pounds, well, you know. Now, just hours after Sudan went online, the web page crashed due to the number of hits.
Really?
So Tinder, find a more stable platform. And Sudan, best of luck. Hopefully, if you don't get another white rhino, you might get that pommy politician who's in the grill, as she might.
Just rhino it into him.
Eventually. All right, well, in that case.
On that high note.
And it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Tell your mum. Your horse is good.
And go country. You're playing games with my heart.